So this morning, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, a description of Jambudvip, text number 25. Yan upajusananam nakarachit api prajhanam valipalita kamasasveda dorgandhya jaramaya mityusitosna vaivarn Yopasargha dayastapa visesa bhavanti yaja jivam sukham niratisayameva. Please repeat, yan. Which? All the products produced because of the flowing rivers mentioned above. Too long. Sorry about that. Okay. Upajusananam. Of persons who are fully utilizing. No. Not. Kadachit. At any time. Api. Certainly. Prajanam. Of the citizens, vali, the wrinkles, palita, gray hair, klama, fatigue, sveda, perspiration, durgandhya, bad odors, because of unclean perspiration. Jara, old age. Amaya, disease. Mrityu, untimely death. Sita, severe cold. Ushna, scorching heat. Vaivarnya, fading of the luster of the body. Upasarga, troubles, adhaya, and so on. Tapa, of sufferings. Visesha, varieties. Bhavanti, are. Yavat, as long as. Jivam, life. Sukham, happiness. Niratisayam, unlimited. Eva, only. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies. They don't need facelifts. No gray hair, no need of hair dye. They never feel fatigue, and perspiration does not give their bodies bad odor. No underarm deodorant needed. They are not afflicted by old age, disease, no pharmaceutical stores, or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly, cold, or scorching heat. No sweaters. Nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily, without anxieties, until death. Purport. This verse hints at the perfection of human society even within this material world. Because we know from hearing during the time of King Yudhisthira, everything was so nice. You know, there was no disease, and weather was nice. And when you have a good leader, it's amazing how society goes on so smoothly, so nicely. So it's given description here as well. The miserable conditions of this material world can be corrected by a sufficient supply of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, molasses, food grains, ornaments, bedding, sitting places, and so on. This is human civilization. Ample food grains can be produced through agricultural enterprises, and profuse supplies of milk, yogurt, and ghee can be arranged through cow protection. Abundant honey can be obtained if the forests are protected. Unfortunately, in modern civilization, men are busy killing the cows that are the source of yogurt, milk, and ghee, and are cutting down the trees that supply honey, and they are opening factories to manufacture nuts, bolts, automobiles, and wine instead of engaging in agriculture. How can the people be happy? They must suffer from all the misery of materialism. Their bodies become wrinkled and gradually deteriorate until they become almost like dwarfs. And a bad odor emanating from their bodies because of unclean perspiration resulting from eating all kinds of nasty things. This is not human civilization. If people actually want happiness in this life and want to prepare for the best in the next life, they must adopt a Vedic civilization. In a Vedic civilization, there is a full supply of all the necessities mentioned above. And there you have it. Om Jnanate Varandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Kotivachalam Pungudlam Hayategrim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Jevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here this verse is mentioning the miseries of this material world. This material world, Krishna says, is dukalyam asashvatam. It's a place of misery. So it's described that there's different types of misery. There's miseries coming from our own mind and body, adi atmaka. For instance, people have a lot of diseases. I asked one doctor, how many types of cancer are there? And he says, as many organs there are in the body, or you can have cancer in any, you could have cancer on any part of the body. I had one friend, in Miami, he worked in the airport, and we used to distribute books in the airports. And we were talking about death and old age, and he said, yeah, my wife, she bumped her knee on the bedpost, got cancer on that spot, and died 6 months later. These bodies are very, very vulnerable. Imagine that, just bumped her knee on the bedpost, got cancer on that spot, and died. Danger at every step. Param param yad viparam natesham. Not only every step. In America, about 600 people die every year from rolling off their bed. So it's even dangerous rolling while you're sleeping. You got to be careful. And I heard that even Devamrita Swami, he rolled off his bed and broke his arm some years ago. So it's a dangerous place, material world. So misery is coming from our body, so many diseases, the mind. Psychiatrists, you know, a lot of money in psychiatry now because people are so disturbed due to just the chaos in society now. There was one, I was speaking to one student at a university, and I was explaining to him about this, how you know, the miseries of this world, and mainly mental. And he said, yeah, he had just read in the newspaper how one psychiatrist, he was treating one patient who had split personalities. Do you understand split personalities? Split personality means he thinks he's one person, then he thinks he's another person. A schizophrenic. Huh? Bipolar. Well, it's a little more serious than bipolar. So this patient had about 20 different split personalities. So the doctor had a brilliant idea. He figured, I'll charge each of the different split personalities more money. So one of the split personalities had enough intelligence to take this doctor to court. And the judge was so disgusted with this doctor that he took away his medical license and put him in jail. Such cheating, yeah. Such cheating is going on. Yeah. Place of the cheaters and the cheated. Yeah. So this misery is coming from our own mind, our own body. You experience more of the miseries of the body as you get older. I have a disease now called eosinophilic esophagitis. Try to repeat that. Basically, it's an allergy of the esophagus. So I got to be careful about what I eat. Yeah. So many diseases we never heard of before, with longer names than that. Yeah. So miserable, this material world. So Krishna, why does Krishna make it like this? So that any thoughtful person will think, well, wait a second, I don't want to suffer. Maybe there's a place where there isn't any suffering. Yeah, so then they can start inquiring, looking, searching. So misery is coming from our own mind and body. Misery is coming from nature. Just like you had nice summer days, I heard, about a week ago, and you put your heaters away, and then all of a sudden the cold came back. And you had to bring the heaters out again. And I'm using them. See, a cold. Yeah. There's some places in Russia, they're so cold that if you pour water out of a cup, by the time it hits the ground, it's ice. Imagine that. So cold. And heat. I was in Vrindavan just a couple months ago, and it was 43 degrees. You know, so hot. It even gets up to 50. And then they have the loos. You ever heard of the loos? In Vrindavan, they have these winds that when these winds come, they can actually kill you. It's so hot. And these winds go into your ear and they kill people. So when the loos come, everybody goes into their home in Vrindavan. You can die from these hot winds that come from the desert. I was in Los Angeles in 1993. Some of you may have heard this before, so it might be a rerun. But it's interesting, this material nature. 1993, Los Angeles Temple, Mangalartik. We had all just paid obeisances to Gornitai, and we were then paying obeisances to Rukmini Dwarkadish. And we heard some Mataji screaming loud, and we're all thinking, why is she screaming? Because she was the first one to see that there's an earthquake, because the chandeliers, they started shaking. And she screamed. And then the whole building, all of Los Angeles, started shaking. Anybody here ever been in an earthquake before? Earthquakes are really unusual. You know, imagine the whole ground is shaking. Yeah. So myself and a couple other devotees, we jumped on the altar just in case the deities moved. Fortunately, they didn't move at all. But it was a pretty eerie feeling. And it, remember, it happened at, right at 4:30. So some of the devotees, they didn't make it to Mangalartik. And that's what woke them up. And they were thinking, uh-oh, Krishna's upset with me. I didn't go to Mangalartik. So everybody was at Mangalartik the next day. So, yeah, earthquakes, floods. Actually, this is the most dangerous natural catastrophe is floods. The largest number of people in the world have died from floods in China. Thousands and thousands of people died in this one instance where there was just a huge, huge flood, just rain just coming down and down and down. Thousands of people die. So water, you know, rain can cause big, big disturbance in society. You know, heat also, you know, droughts. Some places there's big droughts, no water. In Los Angeles, we had a drought for 5 years. But when I grew up in Los Angeles, we used to get so much rain. It's unbelievable, just pouring down rain. But they became so sinful in Los Angeles that Krishna kept the rain away for years. So sinful. Yeah. I think Los Angeles has become, it's called the new sin city. It used to be Las Vegas. Of course, Las Vegas is also sin city, but Los Angeles has like gone off the top. So much sinful activity. So they're getting reactions. So misery is coming from nature. Misery is coming from our mind and body. Misery is coming from other living entities. Does anybody know what entity kills more people than any other entity? Yes, mosquitoes, believe it or not. They're big time killers. They kill thousands and thousands of people every year. And number two is people. People kill a lot of people. You know, wars and murders. And so other living entities, dogs. You know, I've been on traveling Sankirtan door to door, and sometimes the dogs, they come and attack. And, mosquitoes, dogs, other people. So other living entities also. And sometimes the opposite sex, right? The wife disturbs the mind of the husband so much, and the husband disturbs the mind of the wife so much. So much divorce because of this, and sometimes even murders of passion. Yeah. So other living entities can cause so much suffering. But then there's living entities who cause so much pleasure on the other side. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was such a pure devotee that he caused so much happiness in people's lives because of his purity. He said, therefore, I've come to turn the hippies into happies. Yeah. He made so many people happy by this Krishna consciousness. And of course, Krishna is known as the reservoir of all pleasure. So the more we come in contact with Krishna, the more we experience inner happiness. Yonta suko tara rama tatantiya joyatariya. Siyogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto jigasati. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, he attains the highest goal of life. So real happiness is within. This understanding of who we are as spirit souls, as servants of Krishna, servants of the super soul. This is where the real happiness is. But everybody is looking other places, everywhere else. Just like the Bhagavatam gives an example of a deer who's dying of thirst and doesn't know that near the deer is some water, but it's being hidden by some grass. So because of no knowledge, the deer is not aware, the deer goes off the wrong direction and ends up dying of thirst. So people don't know that very close to them is a source of their ultimate happiness. Service to the super soul, service to Krishna. So this is all found, as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, in the Vedic civilization. So the Vedic civilization is based on knowledge. This material world is a place of ignorance. Om Ajnanata Manandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshrum Militam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. All living entities are born into ignorance. And therefore we go to school. And believe it or not, if you're not taught, you won't even learn how to walk or to speak. There's people called the feral people. Feral people are people or children that were left in the forest by their parents. Here in Europe, back in the 1500s, 1400s, the kings, if they found out that children had some deformity, there would be a disturbance. They would have to take care of them, so there'd be a disturbance to society. So they would kill them. So the parents of these children that were deformed, they would take them out to the forest and pray to God that somehow they're able to survive. And sometimes wolves would take care of them. And these feral children, they would be found, and they couldn't speak. They would bark. Because whatever we hear, that's what comes out of the mouth. Just like you could all speak Slovenian, because you grew up speaking Slovenian. I grew up speaking English. So we, due to hearing, this is how it comes out. So these feral children, they would only bark, and they wouldn't walk. They would move on their fours, their hands and knees. Because, as you all know, you've seen, when the children are learning how to walk, the parents are always there holding their finger and helping them to walk. Right? So even you have to learn how to walk and how to speak. What to speak of knowledge of the Absolute? We have to be taught the Absolute Truth. And therefore Krishna comes and he gives us the Absolute Truth. Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavitamidam Uttamam, Pratyaksavagamang Dharmam Sasukam, Kartam Avyatam. That this knowledge is the king of education. Like in the universities, there's so many subjects that are being taught. Mainly now it's business, computers, engineering, whatever makes the most money. Right? But you can't learn about the soul. You can't learn the absolute truth. Prabhupada was speaking at MIT, a very, very prestigious school in America, Massachusetts Institute for Technology. And Prabhupada asked the students, where is the course where you could learn what is the difference between matter and spirit? Why can't they put life back into a dead body? Why can't they learn about the soul? Actually, there was one doctor that had seen a lot of people dying while he was looking in their eyes. And what he would find is that a luster would disappear. And then he understood, they're dead. And he came to the conclusion that there should be an investigation of the existence of the soul. And an article in the newspaper was there about this. And devotees read that and they sent it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote to this doctor, praising him that he had come to the right conclusion that there is a soul. And they had many exchanges, some letters exchanging. So in the universities, you can't learn about the soul. You can't learn about the absolute truth. You can't learn about God. Yeah. These are the most important things. And therefore, they can't grow. Just like plants, they have these green nurseries where they have trees in pots. And the idea is that people come and they buy these trees that are in pots and they plant them in their yard and they turn, they grow into a big tree. But sometimes the trees aren't sold. And the tree is still growing, but the roots are hitting against the pot. So it can't grow properly because the roots, they're stunted. The roots want to go out, but they can't. So the roots are stunted, so therefore the tree can't grow properly. So we as spirit souls, we want to grow spiritually. Right? But throughout the world, people can't grow spiritually. They can't learn about the soul. They can't learn about God. They can't engage in devotional service. They can't hear about devotional service. So they're stunted. And therefore, there's so many problems throughout the world because they're not growing properly. It's natural to grow understanding that there's a God, that I'm a soul, that I should serve God. Just like innocent children, naturally they understand there's a God, there's a supreme being. But then we're taught. You learn so much nonsense in the universities, for instance. Prabhupada once said in a purport, that modern scientists have lost their brain work due to accepting the theory of uncertainty. Powerful statement there. Modern scientists have lost their brain work. No brain. Due to accepting the theory of uncertainty. Therefore, there's two words that are very popular in the science field. Perhaps and maybe. Right? We have our PhD back there, isn't it? Perhaps and maybe. Very common words in the science field. So they're accepting the ascending process from their own imperfect senses. But we accept the descending process. We're accepting knowledge from the highest authority, Krishna, who doesn't make mistakes. You never hear Krishna say, perhaps, maybe, no. No. Absolute truth. He says, there is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. I'm the source of all material and spiritual world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotional service. So everything is very clear, as given to us by by Krishna. So the goal of life is to understand that we're spirit soul, that we're part of Krishna, that we're meant to serve Krishna. This is the pleasure of the soul. And such a high pleasure, people can't imagine. Just like Rupa Goswami, he was getting so much pleasure from chanting Hare Krishna that he desired to have many millions of ears to hear the holy name. Imagine that. He desired to have many, many tongues to chant the holy name. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of his heart, he experiences unlimited happiness and stops all the activities of his mind. So everybody wants unlimited happiness that's ever expanding. This is what everybody wants, right? But it's not found in this world. No. What's found in this world is hlada tapakari, which means whatever you think will be a cause of pleasure in this world, that very thing will be a cause of misery. That's the material world. People are aspiring to enjoy so many things in this world, but that those very things that they're aspiring to achieve become the source of misery. So better focus our attention on that person who will give us unlimited happiness. It's never happened in history that anybody that has completely given their life to Krishna, surrendered fully to Krishna, has not become completely happy, satisfied. It's never happened. And it's never happened that anybody that has fully surrendered to Maya has become completely happy. It's never happened. That'll never happen. So better focus our attention on Krishna and become more and more detached from matter. Because we're not matter. It's kind of ironic that everyone is thinking that we're this material body, but we're not at all this body. We're the soul within. We don't even exist materially. But so many people are thinking that we don't exist spiritually. But actually we have a very big position spiritually, because we're all part of Krishna. Just like here in Slovenia, do they have a president here or prime minister? What do you have? Both? Yeah, you have both. Huh? Okay. So the president probably has children. Yeah, so it's a big position to be the child of the president. Yeah. There's so much respect is given there, and there's protection, right? Especially in America. Yeah. So to be the son or daughter of the prime minister or a king, it's like the son of the queen of England, you know, very famous, yeah, just to be the son of the queen. So we're all sons and daughters of God. That's a big position. But people have forgotten. So we want to remind people, you have a very big position. You're the son of God, daughter of God. So it's very important that we let people know this very important information. So, it's 8:45. Any question or comment? Yes?
The science also says that atoms are 99% nine empty spaces.
So oh, right. Yeah. Thank you. Any other? Yes?
Thank you.
So the question is that sometimes people, they complain that they're interested in the book, but it's disgraceful to sell things on the street. Well, we don't have many choices. And also, there's a lot of gypsies, yeah? In Slovenia, gypsies? No? Yes? There's a few, not many. So that's, you know, people coming and, you know, this is something that throughout Europe they do, in India also, gypsies, they go and they're trying to sell things. So they kind of relate it to that, selling things on the street, or there's a lot of people selling things on the street. So we don't have many options. We can go door to door, which is, many devotees do quite well door to door. Other devotees don't do well at all door to door. We can't go to the airport. We did that in America for many decades. Now there's only two airports where we can still distribute books, so that we don't have much option. In America, we can also go to universities, because in America we had this amendment, the freedom of speech in all public areas. So universities are public areas, so we set up tables. That's my main way of distributing books. I set up a table at universities and distribute 20 Bhagavad Gitas every day. It's really nice. The students are nice and interested. So that's the main way we distribute books in America. But if you go to a university here and set up a table, what would they say? Ananta? No religion allowed. And that's even in India. We tried to set up a table in India. Even there they wouldn't let us do it. The land of Dharma, or used to be the land of Dharma. So we don't have much option. So you could explain to the people that this is the reason that we distribute books on the street. Please forgive us, but it's very nice knowledge. Please take. Any other ways we distribute books around here? We do go door to door. You do door to door here, some, yeah, in the street. Anything else?
We
start with setting up books, set up tables. You could set up tables on the streets, but you mentioned that they give us a hard time with that. Oh, other cities, you can do it like that. It's a great way to distribute books. Yeah, that's a fantastic way to distribute books. Because, and what you can do, I have a sign here, I could show you a sign, and you can make your own sign. Yoga and meditation, or yoga, meditation, and philosophy. Because then people come to you. Instead of you going to them, many people come to you. Makes it a lot easier. So you get a sign there, and you get a way to hold the sign up, and people come to you. It's really nice. So I'll speak to you and speak to some other devotees about how you can distribute a lot of books with a table. You know, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
But anyway, this is also some kind of a test for those who are walking in the street, are selling books, and they don't know what to do.
To be what? Senate? Did you say Senate?
Scientist,
okay.
Yes, I know him from 15 years ago.
Okay.
He's working with some institute. He took a book.
He took a book. Okay.
I mean, he is into a
tournament. Yes.
He's throwing off the... I mean, he had some problems with the word.
Yeah, some people will think it's rather an unusual way to distribute religious literatures. But most people don't have a problem with it. Some people got this hang up. You know, it's not a very prestigious way to present literature, religious literature. But yeah, most people don't care. Just tell the person that you're on the mental platform. Yeah. Well, yeah, we should be humble. Don't take offense. You could explain to them that we don't have many options on how to distribute the books. This is one way that there's not many. There's only one other way. So please don't take offense. It's a very valuable knowledge. Take the knowledge. Don't be caught up in some mental way that you think that knowledge should be distributed. Yes.
I have a small comment about distributing books on the street.
About
distributing books on the street.
Okay.
In Slovenia, I found out that if we distribute in combination with Harinam, sitting walking Harinam, or Padayatra, it's much easier.
Uh-huh.
People accept more because they see it in combination, and it's also more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Did everybody hear that? Everybody heard? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I found, for example, I was distributing on the street.
Yeah, speak a little louder.
I was distributing on the street in the city center, and then the Harinam group came, and the entire atmosphere changed. People all of a sudden, they became much more receptive, and they took it in another way.
Uh-huh. Ah, very nice. Yeah. Harinam in book distribution is a very powerful presentation. Yeah, it's very common that devotees distribute books with Harinam. But when it's a walking Harinam, it's kind of tough because then they're walking, and then you're talking to someone and the Harinam's all of a sudden they're like, they're 500 meters ahead. Yes. Oh, she's still translating and you're speaking. You know, slow down. She's trying to translate.
Is this okay situation just excuse not to do sankirtan?
No,
you have
the whole thing before
sankirtan. Or is there a way to improve our
sankirtan?
Not
to recommend whether it's excuse or whether it's real inability or real.
Is it true or is it just my mind? Okay. Yeah, there's a saying that where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. In America, there's a saying about the mailman. In rain or shine or hail or snow, the mail must be distributed. The mail must be delivered. So we're also mailmen, in one sense. We're distributing the message of Godhead. So if we're determined, then we'll somehow go out, if we have that determination. Of course, sometimes it's pouring down rain and, you know, not possible. But usually the rain comes for a while, then it stops, right? Then you go out again. So, yeah, sometimes there's the tricks of the mind. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the mind is a non-devotee. So yeah, we have to look out for the mind. And if you look on the weather report, and the weather report is 100% rain, then you might take that as a message from Krishna that do some more hearing and chanting. But if it says 60%, that means good opportunity to distribute books. There'll be some rain, but you know it'll come and go, and then you go back out again. You know. Sometimes we would be out distributing books, it would start raining, then we'd go inside the mall or something, distribute the books there for a while, then come back out when it stops raining. You have inside malls here also? You have inside malls? He says yes, he says no. Oh, you can't, no, in America also, you can't go inside the mall. It's illegal. But you just go around, you know, you have a bag, and you just sneak around. And if you get caught, all they're going to do is say, you can't do that here, you have to leave. Okay, and then you leave. And then sometimes we go back again. Not very often, though. But yeah, you just kind of make yourself not seen, you know, just don't make yourself obvious. And you move around a lot, you can get away with it. You know. Yeah. The what? The what? The bliss, okay. Well, well, we have to understand that we've been in the material world for a very long time, and there's a lot of contamination, a lot of filth, a lot of garbage in the mind, in the heart. And in this one lifetime, we're trying to become completely clean. Prabhupada said, cleaning the hearts of my devotees, or the cleaning the hearts of my disciples, is like trying to clean coal. Coal. You know, coal is just black to the very center. So we have a lot of dirt. So we have to continue and pray, be patient, and Krishna can do anything. He could even cleanse our hearts. So we just have to keep trying and pray for offenseless chanting. See, the reason that we don't feel this ecstasy is because we're chanting offensively. And you know what the two main offenses are? Maintaining material attachments, even after understanding so much on this subject matter. We maintain material attachments. Yeah. The other, inattentive chanting. If we're inattentive, if we're chanting but we're ignoring Krishna, how are we going to feel any bliss? We're chanting and we're thinking of so many other things. No. Krishna's not going to give himself. If we're ignoring him, why would he give himself? Right? Just like imagine you're talking to somebody and the person you're talking to is just like You're like, hey Prabhu, I'm trying to talk to you, you know, what's up, you know? Don't ignore me. So when we're chanting and we're just thinking of so many other things, we're ignoring Krishna. It's not even polite. It's rude. So, we got to take this very serious. And what I found, the thing that's helped me the most in chanting my japa, you've probably heard this before, but it's good to hear again. Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, if I'm chanting, I'm a little inattentive, I stop and I back up one or two beads, then I go forward. It's a great practice. It's a fantastic practice because we're practicing on how to control the mind, how to hear the holy name. Do this, it'll improve your japa, I guarantee it. Because if we don't, the mind just keeps going. Just keeps going. Sometimes you chant a whole round or two rounds and you haven't heard one mantra. The mind is just all over the place. But if as soon as you detect that that we become inattentive, you stop, back up. Let's get on track again. Don't space out. Let's stay on track here. Because we're training the mind, practicing for controlling the mind. Krishna says that. By constant practice and by detachment, we can control the mind. So try this. It's very good. Okay? It's a little late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.